Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Thanks for coming by this morning. Well, it's the week in review. It's Friday. We made it to another Friday. And I got a call this morning that Shelley is doing a seminar for the next 3 days, so she won't be able to be on the show this morning, which is okay, although I miss her. It's nice to have both of us and to be able to talk over things with help from each other. But I've certainly done the show by myself before, but I think she wanted to fill us in a little bit about the man that we talked about this week, Arnold Abbott. So I'm going to try to talk a little bit about him as well. But before I do, I'm going to start from the beginning of the week. And, of course, we did Bullies to Buddies Day, and we had kind of a controversial conversation about the martial arts, whether or not we think it's wise to teach our kids about the martial arts in an attempt to protect them. And I don't know that I still feel that that's the answer. Not that I'm against the martial arts. I'm not. I actually like the fact that kids can learn how to defend themselves. I actually like the fact that there was so much talk about, the protocol and the procedures and teaching you how to control yourself and all those kind of things, I think are very important for all of us. I know some adults that could use that. However, I was concerned about the way it was suggested to me that this particular teacher of karate talked about the fact that, you know, they could put the blows to somebody and protect themselves. And in the world of bullying in elementary school, I'd hate to think that I had a whole bunch of cute little five-year-olds running around in karate outfits, chopping everybody. Doesn't sound appealing to me at all. But the consensus that we made together was that you need to make sure that you're at a good school, you have a good teacher, and that the real protocol behind martial arts is appreciated and learned. So, but we still stand by our original feelings on bullying, and that is that if you teach your kids the social graces of getting along with everybody, you're doing much more for them, in my opinion. If you can do both, I guess that's the perfect scenario, but they also have to know the difference between being able to kick somebody in the jaw and or not having to kick them at all. And I think that's the lesson. That's the important lesson. Even with some adults. I know adults in my professional life that all you had to do was just one derogatory comment. You don't agree with them about something. And they take a stance that is, you know, going to change things forever. Do you really think that's right? Do you think that's the way to handle your life? I don't. And, you know, growing up in a household where you have to be strong and you have to fight for your own rights and all those kind of things can be misconstrued in the mind of a young child. Misconstrued. They grow up thinking that they got to be a tough guy all the time or a tough girl all the time. I also don't think there's any balance in that. Yes, you shouldn't be, you know, pushed into a corner, especially on a regular basis, like I see happen to some people. But again, that's your thought process. That's what you believe is happening to you, so you allow it. A lot of lessons to be learned about how we accept other people's actions and other people's words, but especially when you're five. Because you leave a home in the good scenario. I know this isn't true all the time. We learn that every day. But in the good scenario, you leave a home where everybody loves you. You're their little teacup. You know, you're everything to them. And then you go out into a kindergarten class and find out that there not only might be some kids that don't like it, but some teachers who aren't too enamored by you either. So that's the lesson. That's the hard lesson. That was a hard lesson for me as a mom, to find out that not everybody thought my kids were just as perfect as I thought they were. It was literally kind of devastating for me. I laugh about it now, but when I was young, I was hurt by that. And it wasn't a good feeling, and I wanted to be very protective, and I had to learn how to really pay attention to what was going on before I jumped to conclusions. I think I've told the story on the show before when my Michael didn't want to go to school, and it was a Monday. That was my day off from work. I took off Sundays and Mondays back in those days. And Monday was for house cleaning, and Sunday was for spending with the kids. And I look out, it's snowing and wet in upstate New York, and here's my little guy, who's, I think, about six, sitting under the tree in his snowmobile suit in the snow, drippy snow. And I go out, and I'm like, honey, what are you doing? Why didn't you get on the bus? I don't want to go to school, Mommy. I said, why not? My teacher doesn't like me. Well, I may tell you, if I'd have had a horse, I'd have gone riding in that way. That's how upset I was. And I sat back, though. I had that. I brought him in the house. I comforted him, and I asked him why he thought that. And he told me that she always picked him and would yell at him if she said, everybody that's got green on today can get in line. And if he didn't get up and get in line, she'd ostracize him and say, don't you know you have green on? And everybody would laugh at him. So that led me to find out that he was dyslexic and was colorblind when he was a kid, especially with greens and browns and blues and those kind of colors. But I went to school. And I said, Mikey didn't want to come to school today because he doesn't think you like him. And tears sprang to this teacher's eyes. And she was like, oh, and he's hiding behind me, right? Little guy hiding behind me. And I said, yeah, he didn't get on the bus this morning. He was sitting in the snow. I look outside, and he didn't want to come here. And she goes, oh, Mikey, that's not true. So they kind of made up, and he went off to play and take his snowmobile suit off, and I looked at her, and of course I was angry. I said, why does he think that? And she said, I don't know. She said, I do bring him into things because he has a tendency to be so shy. And I said, well, he doesn't think that's what you're doing. He thinks you're singling him out and picking on him. And so she ended up being, of course, his favorite teacher all through elementary school. Why? Because, you know, she needed to be told what reactions he was having to what she thought was a whole other thing that she was doing, which so many times is the truth. So again, when we talk about bullying, we're not just talking about two little kids. We're talking about a lot of different things, the way somebody understands what you say to them or the way somebody perceives what it is you're trying to explain to them. You need to make yourself clear, and you always need to do it with, you know, a little bit of understanding what's going on in the other person's mind. In my professional life, I have let many, many people go. And usually they know it way before I do. that they're not suited for the job that they've been chosen for. So it seldom comes as a shock to them that they're being let go. But there is no reason to give somebody unpleasant news and hurt their feelings. No reason. There's always something that can be said or actions that can be done to soften that kind of a circumstance. It's not nice, but you don't need to hurt them or offend them. So, Bullies to Buddies Day was all about that, and it worked out very nicely because I guess that is a sign of the times. A lot of really, really young kids starting at like 3 to 5 are taking martial arts. One of the other things that I think it does for them, it's like dance class or any kind of thing like that. It helps them gain some balance and agility and all the things that go with learning how to do those things. So I think it's a good thing. And then, of course, Wednesday we talked about the oh-so-sad story and brave story of Brittany Maynard, the 29-year-old woman who was diagnosed with brain cancer, given 6 months to live, contemplated what her future was, spoke to other doctors, and she and her husband ended up moving to Oregon, where they have the Death with Dignity law. And she took her own life last week because she did not want to, first of all, herself, I'm sure, endure what was in store for her, but she also didn't want her family to have to endure it, which is very, very brave. And having been in that seat of caregiver, of loved one, of daughter, of sister, it isn't easy to say goodbye to a loved one. So I do think when some people make that decision, which is very, very difficult, for sure, but it's also one that will save so much pain that's never forgotten. Even though the loss of a loved one is difficult, watching them suffer, I think, is worse. I really believe it's worse. And we found out that there were several states now that do respect the Death with Dignity law. The whole thing, though, demands that the person in question, who has been diagnosed with something that is terminal and there is no cure for, nor even any way to keep somebody comfortable, they have to be able to give themselves the pill. Somebody else can't give it to them. Somebody that can't be given in a shot like that, apparently, it has to be something that they do on their own, unassisted. So, I mentioned on the show that my brother and sister, actually my sister maybe not at the very end, but my brother, yes, at the very end, could have done that. My mother could not have. And my father's death was pretty quick, so there wasn't that kind of recognition of what he was going through. He got very sick. He was bleeding internally. He was hospitalized. They did a surgery, and he succumbed in the hospital. So, not nice either. Saying goodbye to somebody is never nice, and having somebody you love be sick or in pain is never nice either. But, of course, it is an inevitable part of life. Not the sick part, but the leaving this world is. So we ended up feeling like we had a lot of respect for this young woman. Shelley did, of course, talk about the fact that there's other things, there's different New Age kind of things that are available that maybe could have helped her. And, of course, as a parent, for somebody who's 29, that would have been my issue. I would have been worried that tomorrow they'd have come up with some kind of magic elixir. That's not really what Shelley was talking about. Shelley was talking about other avenues of bringing yourself to a better place, things that we talk about on this show quite a bit. But I got the feeling, reading about her life, that she was very bright, very in tune with what she could do and what she couldn't do. So maybe she even investigated that part of her life and her demise. But I don't know that. I didn't read that. I just kind of assumed that maybe she was pretty enlightened. Plus that you could see a noticeable change in her appearance from the beginning over the last several months, a moon phase appearance, which is often brought on by a prednisone or a cortisone of some kind. And her left eye was showing a change. A lot of different things were changing. So I suspect pain was already setting in. So my heart goes out to their family again, and I know that you will miss her. But having been there, I know that you are relieved that she will no longer suffer from that. So, but an interesting concept, being able to move to a state, get the required credibility and establish yourself in that state and be able to make that decision. And then, of course, the talk of the town is the man that tried to feed the poor and has for, I don't know, 60 years or something, Arnold Abbott, and has been doing so in South Florida, I guess, for years, and has been in trouble for it before. So I don't know if we came up with any answers on Thursday, but we did come up with some reasons why, and of course they're the obvious things: crowd control, waste receptacles, bathrooms. When you gather that many people, even if you want to give any kind of a huge, say, in the old days we did block parties all the time. And there wasn't as many laws in regard to it. And usually it was in a neighborhood, and if all the neighbors were okay with it, everybody was okay with it. But out in the public, without restrooms and without garbage receptacles, I can understand, and parking, although most of your homeless people do not have a vehicle, although I know a lot of homeless people live in their vehicle. So, but all those issues played into it. And then, of course, there's the health department side of it. Nobody is keeping an eye on how the food is prepared or how it's delivered or if it's kept at the right temperature, all the things that would bother somebody in a restaurant. However, I, in my history of hotels and restaurant management, was always under the assumption that if you weren't accepting money, if the food was a gift, then you didn't have to be under that kind of scrutiny. So, and I could be wrong about that. If somebody knows something different than that, perhaps I'll even follow up and do some research on that and see what I can find out for myself. But I do think that, that what he was doing was awesome, and what he was doing is needed. Believe that there must be a way, should be a way, to find a place for this gentleman to do the things that he needs to do. Now, I want you to know that His organization is called Love Thy Neighbor, and he's affiliated with the Sanctuary Church, and he has it's on Federal Highway in Fort Lauderdale, and he has things all the time that help raise money. He in September did a casino night of love, and they all got together and they all prepared the food and everybody did what they needed to do. They had raffles. They had a silent auction. They had a full bar and a cigar bar on the patio overlooking the Middle River, and raised some money to help people. You know, in the world of politics, that kind of stuff is done all the time, all the time. Love Thy Neighbor is a nonprofit interfaith organization dedicated to providing food, training, counseling, and a future for the homeless individuals. As a tribute to his late wife, Maureen, by the way, that's my proper name, Abbott started the organization in 1991. I spent most of my life fighting for the civil rights of people, and I'm still fighting for the civil rights of the homeless. I have always fought for the underdog, said the 90-year-old Abbott. In addition to providing food for the hungry and homeless, he teaches a 9-week culinary arts course to temporarily housed homeless youth that, when completed, certifies them to work in any kitchen in Broward County. He believes that homeless people with proper nutrition and training can become productive members of society. We believe in giving a hand up, not a hand out, said Abbott. The Sanctuary Church works to be a compelling force for good in the world and believes it is best when it serves, sacrifices, loves, and cares about such things as hunger and homelessness. Pastor Dwayne Black said, "We were created to live for something larger than ourselves." So, what is not good about that? Is not right about that? Nothing. It's all right, and it's all the way it should be. And there is no bad part of that, except for obviously following the rules and the regulations that are commanded by the powers that be. So I don't know. I for me, if we don't stop with all the judgmental stuff, things will never change, never, ever change. This week was proof positive that people don't listen the way everybody voted. And I'm not judging anybody by the way they voted. They have their reasons. But my guess is it's because they didn't pay enough attention to what was going on. It isn't easy to keep up with this, especially since so much of the politics are just about name-calling and slander, which doesn't help you find out what everybody is promising or committing themselves to do for our country. So it does get confusing, and it is difficult to make an educated decision. But in the interim, if we don't start doing something about our lack of concern for the man standing next to us, things will only get worse because they can't get better. They really, really can't get better. I want to share with you what else Abbott said about his arrest. He felt as though, you know, well, he knew. I know that I'll be arrested again, and I'm prepared for that. I am my brother's keeper, and what they are doing is just heartless. There is another advocate named Matthew Moore who is hoping to spread the word of Abbott's intentions of feeding the homeless Wednesday in light of 8 members of the homeless advocate group Food Not Bombs also being arrested. On Tuesday, the 8 were taken by police after they refused to leave the office of Chris Wren, executive director of Fort Lauderdale's Downtown Development Authority. the group claimed that they were told they could wait for Wren to show up and meet with them. But after someone called the police, they were arrested. Now that sounds like it's very nicely run, very smoothly, very professional. Not. For his part, Wren claims that one of the members of the group threatened his assistant. Well, I'd like to hear what that threat was, but okay. If they say that's true, then they had to take control. I'm not saying it is true because I don't see any proof of that. On Tuesday, the eight were taken by police and arrested. For his part, Wren claims that one of the members of the group threatened his assistant. That's why they were arrested. So God bless the protesters, and America was founded on protest, Wren told New Times on Tuesday. But he added, the protesters took it a little to the extreme, and they threatened my staff. They were freaked out and said, we've got to lock the door. As for Abbott showing up at his weekly 5:30 feeding of the homeless, Food Not Bombs' Jeff Weinberger, who reported on Abbott's arrest for the New Times, says he's not sure if the 90-year-old will keep to his schedule but encourages people to show their support anyway. I'm not certain that Arnold Abbott plans on doing his regular Wednesday night sharing tonight across from Bahia Mar on Fort Lauderdale Beach at 5:30 p.m. But show up and support, bear witness, and you'll find out. In other words, be there. So I don't know what happened with that. I haven't seen any other stories as to whether or not he was there on Wednesday night. So I don't know. I'm going to do some follow-up this week and see if there's anything that can be done in regard to helping support something as nice as this. And, I mean, the TV right now is all about donating food and going out and dropping off food at all the various drop-off centers so that they can make boxes of food for people for the holidays. And that seems to be okay. And but I understand that it may be a little bit more organized and a little bit more intricately managed. But they show pictures and the traffic is blocked when people are driving into these places. And people have to wait, and probably people get late for work, but that seems to be okay. I mean, I'm not seeing anybody going crazy about it. I've seen nothing on the news about it. So when you raise four kids, I've said this a million times, and I will say it again, you have to do the same for everybody. Regardless, you have to do the same for everybody. When my kids were growing up, if I bought one pair of Nikes, I better be prepared financially and all of the above to buy four pairs of Nikes. Because you don't just buy one pair of Nikes when you have four children. And you just don't say this is wonderful to do when you're in a position to do something nice for people and do it, and that's okay. And then somebody else comes up with their own idea and does it, and it's not okay. The concept of all of this is good, and why you can't embrace all the good is beyond me. Because of ordinances, please, ordinances get broken by the people that are writing them on a daily basis. So anyway, I feel bad about that, and we'll keep following up on Arnold and see what else he has going on in his life and what else he can come up with to help people, because he says that's what he's dedicated the rest of his life to. And important that he gets supported. So if you can, in any way, shape, or form, support this very, very wise elderly gentleman who is doing the best he can to make things better for other people. So, what is the old saying? No good deed goes unpunished. I wish that were not true, but sadly it is. Now, that's pretty much the week in review. The bullies to buddies, the death with dignity, and then this sweet man who was arrested this week. So for the remainder of the show, I want to share with somebody something that's happening with me. And it's still in the works. However, as of last night, I have been given the sign that it's pretty much headed in the right direction and will come to fruition. And that is a new health institute that will replace a health institute that has resided in Union City, Michigan, since the 70s, since the late 70s. It was called the Creative Health Institute. And some friends of mine have made an offer to purchase it. And what we will do with that place, that institute, even though yours truly doesn't desire to live in Michigan, I will promise my time, whether it's here at home or there on the site, to bring about a place that is about vibrant health. The new name of the institute will be Vibrant Health Institute. And I am joining forces with Michael Briganzi, who has been in this arena of believing in good health, and for many years was called the Wheatgrass King at OHI and at Hippocrates Health Institute in California and in Florida. He travels all over the world and teaches people about sprouting, growing wheatgrass, juicing, etc. So it is our goal to design a place that is not outrageously expensive, as most of these places are, because it's an expensive business to run. But we've come up with some ideas that will not be so horribly costly. And actually, the cost of a regular vacation just to pay for your hotel room will actually get you a week at our new institute. And there will be wheatgrass and green drink all day, every day. There will be a raw sprouted lunch and a plated dinner every evening with classes to learn about how to support this lifestyle if you're on your own. There will be exercise and yoga. There will be sessions where you can share and talk about the things that you need to talk about in a safe and trustful environment. I'm very excited about this, and I'm very excited to be able to have the opportunity to put in the kind of heart and compassion that is really, really needed in a place like that. Having done this, I've been in the hospitality industry since I was in my 20s. And one of the things I know about people better than I know anything else, we all want to be cared about. Not just with words, because that's easy, but also with actions. And that's what we intend to do. We intend to provide a place that is safe, caring, and a place that listens, really listens. Now, I talk about this on the show all the time. Being able to hear and understand and absorb what someone else is telling you is a gift. And it's not easy. You have to really understand that that's what you're trying to do. What I see so many times when somebody listens to me, I'll just use myself. Somebody says to you, "What's wrong?" And you look at their face and you think to yourself, now, do they really want to know what's wrong? Because I can just say, "Nothing, I'm fine." And 97% of the time, that's what we say. But what if the face that's looking at you really looks at you eye to eye and says, is there something I can do to help? And you start talking, and it's like a waterfall. You start talking and really, really getting rid of some stuff that nobody's ever wanted to hear before or take the time to listen to. And you realize that person that asked you what is wrong is really listening to you. Because when you're done talking, they don't just spring into, oh, well, that happened to me too, or you coulda, shoulda, woulda, or any of the standard answers. If they really listen to you, there needs to be some time of silence. They really need to absorb what you're saying. That's what we're going to provide at Vibrant Health Institute. Because if you know anything about detox, if you know anything about cleansing, when people talk about cleansing, they automatically go to your body. They think, you know, you want to lose weight, you want to get rid of all the toxins that you've imbibed it. Excuse me. They think you want to, you know, just clean up your act physically. Well, let me tell you something. Your physical well-being hinges on your psychological well-being. If you don't know that, then your problems are probably bigger than you know. If you can openly talk about anything that's ever happened to you in your life without having it seem like you're immersed in it again, you're an incredibly healthy person. Incredibly. Not too many of us can do that. Not too many of us can say anything about the hurts that we've endured, the pain that we have tolerated, sometimes at the hands or the input from somebody that's supposed to love us. So, funny thing at the Institute would be how many times somebody would tell me, Renee, I got rid as much, and they point to their bum here, I got rid as much up here and point to their head as I did any place else. And I would be like, yes, I get it. I get that, absolutely, because that's a true detox. A true detox is when you get rid of everything that's toxic. And that doesn't necessarily have to mean food or drink or drug. That can mean talk, input, rejection, all those kind of things are toxic. So one of the things that our team has talked about with Vibrant Health is that along with everything that we know is good for you, we're gonna put some heart back into your life. We're going to put some caring back into your life. Like this really, really good man, Arnold, has found a way to make a difference in the world that he doesn't appreciate or like and wants to change. That's what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to bring you to a place that's not only about your body, but also about your mind. And let me tell you, they are so closely connected that you won't actually believe it in the beginning. But the way you think, the way you handle what is said to you, the way you hear, and the way you talk has a big influence on the rest of your body. Even your aches and pains. I hope you believe me because it's true. Everything you think, everything that stays in your head, all the old stuff that you don't get rid of takes a toll on your physical body every day. So at this new institute, we want to let people let go of everything from the toxins in their body, in their gut, in their blood, in their liver. You know, that's something else that I don't think anybody thinks about. Your body is set up to process yuckiness. That's why you go to the bathroom. That's why you have a liver. That's why you have kidneys. All of those things in your body act as like a filter system. Your psyche doesn't really have that. There isn't anything set up to filter except you. If you're conscious enough to set it up for yourself, that's awesome. But most of us aren't. Most of us can't. So everything else comes right in at full force. Full force. You know, there isn't a filter. If you eat something that's really bad for you, you get sick. You vomit. You may have diarrhea for 3 days because your body knows how to get rid of it. Even without help, a lot of times, if it's really bad, your body will still push it out and get rid of it. But that doesn't happen with your head. So that's one of the things we want to embrace. We want to keep it. Michael has a saying that is, what's simple is true. And that's a fact. That's a fact. The more you hang on to negativity, to toxic behavior of others, the sicker you can become. And what starts up there manifests itself to your body. So I am very excited about the Institute. I will keep you all posted in regard to what's going on with it, and I look forward to sharing it with everyone. And like I said, I'll be back and forth. I will, however, do the radio show from Michigan. That's not a hard thing to do because it's all computer. So I will do the show from there, and I'm hoping to be able to invite some of our guests to share their stories on the air, talk about how much good has happened for them and how they've grown in their health, both physical health and mental health. Renee's Heart to Heart has dedicated a lot of time to mental health. And this is the reason. Because in my 10 years at the Institute, and actually my 30 years before that in hotels, bars, and restaurants, I've always been the kind of person people could just talk to. I've heard many, many secrets, and I've listened to many, many stories. And sometimes I think I maybe have made a difference. Sometimes I didn't because I didn't know what to do. But I did listen. And I hope that in some instances that was enough and that helped. But I learned about all the different things that go with mental illness and what that can do to you health-wise. It's awful. And sometimes you can't get out of your own way. Depression and addictions, all of those things take such a toll on you. Take such a toll on you. And sometimes you need to talk to somebody. Now, I want to say this, too, because I have a big family, and I've always opened the door for everybody to talk to me. But the truth of the matter is sometimes when you're too close to the people, they can't. They can't because maybe some of their issues reside with you. And so they can't just open up and talk to you about anything. So it's good if there is an outside entity where people can talk and let go of things that are really, really bothering them. Because before you can achieve really good physical health, that's the first step that has to happen. And I hope you'll take my advice and work on that. And as soon as we're hoping to be up and operating in the middle of January for a limited amount of people. By the middle of February, we hope to be in full swing. So as it grows, I know a lot of you are listening to me from northern states and outside of Florida, and I know a lot of you who listen to me are aware of this kind of lifestyle. So I want to tell you that this will be a chance of a lifetime, because we're keeping it affordable. We're really, really keeping it affordable. So I'm going to close early today because I have to take my friend Jane, the one that I asked you all to say prayers for earlier this week, is doing much better. But I'm running over there to take her sister grocery shopping. So her Janie drives, but she's not allowed to yet. But she is better, and I want to thank you all for your prayers and your good wishes to her. She is doing better. But I will sign off early. Everybody go out and have a great, great weekend. It's going to be cool and breezy and sunny and beautiful here in Florida this weekend. So enjoy your weekend, everybody. God bless. Bye-bye.